بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. ألا وإن أصدق الكلام كلام الله، وخير الهدى هدى محمد، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، فأعتذر عن التأخير، وذلك لظرف حصل لي، وإن شاء الله ربنا يبارك في الوقت بإذن الله تعالى.
بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. الشيخ began by giving خطبة الحاجة, praising Allah, sending peace and blessings upon Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then he excused himself for being late, as he had an emergency come up as he was leaving. But inshallah ta'ala, we will try to finish. Inshallah.
انتهينا بالأمس من الأصل الأول وهو معرفة الله عز وجل، واليوم بإذن الله ندخل في الأصل الثاني وهو معرفة دين الإسلام. كما قال المؤلف، الأصل الثاني معرفة دين الإسلام بالأدلة، وهو الاستسلام لله بالتوحيد والانقياد له بالطاعة والخلوص من الشرك وأهله.
نعم. So the Sheikh, he said that yesterday we finished with the first principle, which is knowing Allah, and today بإذن الله we will start with the second principle, the second fundamental principle, which is knowing the religion of Islam based on evidences. Knowing the religion of Islam based on evidences. And then the author, he says, this means submitting to Allah by way of tawheed, rendering oneself in full obedience to Him, and absolving oneself from shirk and its people. Now,
هذا الأصل الثاني بعد أن ذكر الأصل الأول، هذا الأصل الثاني مهم جدا، وهو أن المسلم يجب عليه أن يعرف أحكام هذا الدين، الدين الإسلامي، لا أن يكون مسلما بالاسم فقط.
نعم. So the Sheikh said that after knowing the first principle, the first fundamental principle, knowing Allah, this second fundamental principle is very important. It is important to know the deen of Islam, the religion of Islam, with its evidences, so that a person is not Muslim by name only.
ولاحظ قوله معرفة دين الإسلام بالأدلة، لابد أن يكون المسلم عارفا وعالما بالدليل ما هو عليه.
And he said, pay attention to the word based on evidences, to know the religion based on evidences. He said, it is incumbent for a person to know the religion based on evidences.
لماذا؟ حتى يكون حجة له، وحتى يكون سائرا على نور، كما قال الله عز وجل.
نعم. And he said, why is this? This is so that the person, so that it will be an evidence for him and not an evidence against him, and also so that the person can take a path of light. He can walk upon a path of light. نعم.
كما قال الله عز وجل، قل هذه سبيلي أدعو إلى الله على بصيرة أنا ومن اتبعني. فالرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم يدعو على بصيرة، أي على علم وهدى من الله.
نعم. And then the Shaykh, he proved this by quoting the ayah in which Allah Azza wa Jalla says, say that this is my path, I call to it upon basira, upon clarity. And then he said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi in the ayah, upon clarity, me and those who follow me. So the Shaykh, he said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he called to Islam upon clarity.
الشيخنا رحمه الله تعالى قال الإسلام هو الاستسلام لله بالتوحيد. ومعنى الاستسلام لله بالتوحيد أي أنك تؤمن ويعني توقن بأن الله عز وجل هو المتفرد بأفعاله والمستحق لعبادة خلقه وحده لا شريك له وله الأسماء الحسنى والصفات العلى.
Now, and then he went to explain the statement of the author that Islam means submitting to Allah by way of Tawheed. He said, so this means that you must believe in Allah and have certainty about Allah Azza wa Jal being single in his actions, and that he is the only one who deserves to be worshipped. He is the one who created, and so on and so forth. So he is the one who deserves to be worshipped, and also in his asma and sifat, in his names and attributes.
قال والانقياد له بالطاعة. الانقياد له بالطاعة يعني أنك تستجيب وتعمل بما أمرك به وتجتنب ما نهاك عنه.
نعم. And then he explained the statement of the author surrendering oneself in obedience to him, يعني to Allah, by saying that you fulfill what Allah has obligated upon you, and you respond to the commandments of Allah, and you stay away from that which He has prohibited you from.
ولا بد أن نعلم أن من طاعة الله طاعة أن من طاعة الله طاعة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم.
And we must know that from the obedience to Allah is obeying His Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم.
قال صلى الله عليه وسلم من أطاع الله قال صلى الله عليه وسلم من أطاعني فقد أطاع الله ومن عصاني فقد عصى الله.
As it comes in a hadith that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, whoever obeys me has obeyed Allah, and whoever disobeys me has disobeyed Allah.
قال والخلوص من الشرك وأهله. الإسلام تستسلم لله عز وجل بالتوحيد وتنقاد له بالطاعة, هذا أمر ثاني. وأمر ثالث مهم جدا وهو الخلوص من الشرك وأهله, فلا تقع في الشرك أبدا وتتبرأ من الشرك ومن أهله.
نعم. So then the Shaykh, he said, so once again the first part is submitting to Allah by way of Tawheed, and the second part is surrendering oneself in obedience to Him, to Allah. And he said, and this third part is also very important, and that is to absolve oneself, or to free oneself from shirk and its people. He said, so this means that you do not fall into shirk ever, and it means that you free yourself from shirk and its people.
ما معنى الخلوص؟ معناه البراءة, البراءة من الشرك وأهله, كما قال إبراهيم عليه الصلاة والسلام لأبيه وقومه إنني براء منكم ومما تعبدون. فالمسلم يعني يتخلص ويتبرأ من الشرك وأهله.
نعم. And then the Shaykh, he went to explain the word khulus in Arabic, which we have translated as absolving. And he said that, as he said before, that it means to free oneself. So a person frees himself from shirk and its people. And then he cited the statement of Ibrahim, as it is mentioned in the Quran, that verily I am free from you, from you and what you worship. When he's speaking to his people, the people of shirk, he said that I am free from you and what you worship besides Allah. So then the Shaykh, he just reiterated again that one must be free from shirk and its people.
هذا هو دين الإسلام, الاستسلام لله بالتوحيد والانقياد له بالطاعة والخلوص والبراءة من الشرك وأهله. هذا هو دين الإسلام الذي بعث الله عز وجل به نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم.
So the Shaykh, he said, so all of these things that we have mentioned, these three things, this is the religion of Islam. Yani this is the meaning of Islam, the religion of Islam. And that is to submit oneself to Allah by way of Tawheed, to surrender oneself in obedience to Him, and to free oneself from shirk and its people. All of this, these affairs, this is Islam, the religion of Islam, with which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent.
قال الشيخ رحمه الله تعالى وهو أي هذا الدين الإسلامي وهو ثلاث مراتب يعني ثلاث درجات أو ثلاث يعني ثلاث طبقات الطبقة الأولى الإسلام الطبقة الثانية الإيمان الطبقة الثالثة الإحسان فقال الشيخ رحمه الله تعالى وهو ثلاث مراتب الإسلام والإيمان والإحسان.
نعم. So then the Shaykh, he said, the author continues by saying that this can be divided into three levels: Islam, Iman, and Ihsan. So the Shaykh, he explains that yes, he means that Islam, the religion of Islam, is in three different levels or three different stages. One is Islam, the next is Iman, and the last is Ihsan. So these three levels comprise the religion of Islam.
المرتبة الأولى الإسلام من دخل في الإسلام ولم يكثر من الأعمال الصالحة فهو مسلم فإن عمل عملا صالحا ارتقى وارتفع إلى درجة الإيمان فإن كان مع الأعمال الصالحة كان محسنا في عمله متقنا بحيث كأنه يرى الله عز وجل ويراقب الله عز وجل فإنه وإن لم يرى الله في الدنيا فإن الله يراه سبحانه وتعالى.
Now, and then the Shaykh explains about these three levels briefly by saying that Islam, when a person enters into Islam, he is in this first level. And if he does not do good actions, or he does not perform good actions, good deeds, then he remains on this first level of Islam. But if he does good actions after entering to Islam and he performs good deeds, then he raises to the level of Iman. And if he continues to perform good actions and good deeds, and in addition to this, he reaches a level in which he knows that Allah is seeing him in everything. And he performs his actions as if he is watching Allah, even though he is not able to see Allah, he knows that Allah is seeing him. And in that case, he has risen to the last level of Ihsan.
لذلك العلماء يقولون الإسلام عام أهله كثيرون جدا ثم الإيمان أهله أقل من أهل الإسلام ثم فالإيمان لأن فيه عملا صالحا فأهله أقل من أهل الإسلام لذلك الله عز وجل يقول قالت الأعراب آمنا قل لم تؤمنوا ولكن قولوا أسلمنا فأهل الإسلام يشمل الجميع وأما أهل الإيمان فلا بد أن يتصفوا بالعمل الصالح وهم أقل من أهل الإسلام ثم أهل الإحسان أقل من أهل الإيمان. نعم.
So then the Shaykh, he explained again about these three levels, that Islam being the widest or the most, the broadest of these meanings. So the people of Islam are plenty, they're plentiful, they're many. And less than them are the people of Iman. And the reason is because, as he said previously, that everyone enters into Islam, but only the people who have the righteous actions raise up to the level of Iman. So Islam is broad, it contains many people. But less than them are the people of Iman. And then even less than this are the people of Ihsan. Is that clear? Yes?
No? واضح؟
طيب. قال الشيخ رحمه الله تعالى وكل مرتبة لها أركان. يعني الإسلام له أركان، الإيمان له أركان، والإحسان له أركان. نعم.
Now, and the author, he continues by saying each one of these levels has its own pillars. So the Shaykh said that Islam has its own pillars, and Iman has its own pillars, and Ihsan has its own pillars.
وسيبين هذه الأركان حيث قال فأركان الإسلام خمسة شهادة أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمد رسول الله وإقام الصلاة وإيتاء الزكاة وصوم رمضان وحج البيت وحج بيت الله الحرام هذه أركان الإسلام الخمسة كما جاءت في حديث عبد الله بن عمر وغيره رضوان الله عليهم أجمعين.
And the author, he continues by saying that the pillars of Islam are five. They are the testimony that there is no deity that has the right to be worshipped except Allah, the statement La ilaha illallah, and Muhammadur Rasulullah, and Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah. And second, establishing the prayer, the salah. And thirdly, giving the zakat, the charity. And fourth, fasting in Ramadan. And fifth, performing the pilgrimage or the hajj to the sacred house of Allah.
والشهادتان هم الأصل المقدم للدخول في هذا الدين كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لمعاذ بن جبل إنك تأتي قوما هم أهل كتاب فليكن أول ما تدعوهم إليه شهادة أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمد رسول الله فإنهم أطاعوك لذلك الحديث كما أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام.
نعم. And the Sheikh previously he mentioned as well that these five pillars are mentioned in hadith, and he mentioned a hadith of Abdullah bin Umar. And as for the testimony, the shahada, he said that this is the asl, this is the foundation, and it is what comes first, and by which the person enters into Islam. And he mentioned the hadith of Mu'adh ibn Jabal when the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sent him to Yemen. And the first thing he told him to call, he said that you are approaching a people of the book, so the first thing that you call them to is La ilaha illallah, that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah. And if they obey you in that, then he clarified the next step, step by step.
والصلاة أيضا ركن من أركان الإسلام على المسلم أن يهتم بها كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بين الرجل وبين الشرك أو الكفر الصلاة فمن تركها فقد كفر وكذا الصوم لمن شهد الشهر وكان خاليا يعني ما عنده مانع من سفر أو المرأة حيض ونفاس أو مرض وكان بالغا فلا بد أن يصوم هذا الشهر فمن شهد منكم الشهر فليصمه وكذا الزكاة من كان عنده مال فيجب أن يؤدي حق الله عز وجل في هذا المال وكذا حج البيت الحرام من كان مستطيعا للحج قادرا عليه ولم يحج فإنه يجب عليه أن يحج إذا تيسر له ذلك.
نعم. And then the Sheikh briefly explained some points of the other pillars. So he said establishing the prayer, the next pillar, and he mentioned from the importance of establishing the prayer and that we must give a lot of importance to establishing the salah, the prayer. And he mentioned the hadith that between a person and kufr, disbelief, is the salah, the prayer. And then he said, and similarly a person, and he mentioned Ramadan first, he said similarly a person must give importance to fasting Ramadan, and that if a person has no excuse, such as traveling or such as a woman being on her menses, then it is obligatory to fast the month of Ramadan if he is of age. And similarly, giving the zakat, the charity. It is an obligation. And lastly, the one who is able to perform Hajj, then similarly it is an obligation. It must be done.
الشهادتان لا إله نفي لكل معبود من دون الله وأن كل هذه المعبودات باطلة إلا الله إثبات العبادة لله وأنه المستحق المتفرد سبحانه وتعالى المستحق للعبادة المتفرد بأوصاف الكمال والمتفرد سبحانه وتعالى في أفعاله.
نعم. So the Sheikh he began speaking about the Shahada, لا إله إلا الله. So he said that the first part, لا إله, which means that there is no deity that has ever to be worshipped, this is negation. This is negating that there is anything worthy of worship besides Allah. And as for except Allah, this is what they call ithbat, which means affirmation. So altogether we have negation and affirmation. None has a right to be worshipped except Allah. And in this affirmation, it is affirming that only Allah Azza wa Jal, He is singular, He is the only one who deserves to be worshipped. And he mentioned the parts of Tawheed as previously. Now.
وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ يعني أن الذي يسمع له ويطاع ويتبع في أمره ونهيه هو رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. نرجع إليه صلى الله عليه وسلم بالرجوع إلى سنته بعد موته صلى الله عليه وسلم. فلا يقدم لا تقدم الآراء والأهواء وأقوال العلماء على قول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. يجب على المسلم أن يعتقد ذلك.
And as for the meaning of Muhammad as the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, it means that we must follow Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم and we must obey him. And it means that it is an obligation, as the Sheikh he said, it is an obligation to follow Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم and return back to him. And he mentioned that following him and listening to him, going back to him, and after his death, it is going back to him by going back to his sunnah. The way that we go back to Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم is by going back to his sunnah.
قال الشيخ رحمه الله تعالى فدليل الشهادة قوله تعالى شهد الله أنه لا إله إلا هو والملائكة وأولو العلم قائما بالقسط لا إله إلا هو العزيز الحكيم ومعناها أي الشهادتين لا معبود بحق إلا الله وحده لا إله نافيا جميع ما يعبد من دون الله إلا الله مثبتا العبادة لله وحده لا شريك له في عبادته كما أنه ليس له شريك في ملكه سبحانه وتعالى. نعم.
نعم. And then the Sheikh he continued from the reading the author's statement. The proof for the statement of faith, the Shahada, is the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah bears witness that there is no deity that has a right to be worshipped except Him, and so do the angels and those who possess knowledge. He is always maintaining His creation with justice. None has the right to be worshipped but Him, the Almighty, the All-Wise. And then the author continues by saying that the meaning of the testimony of faith is that there is none that has the right to be worshipped except Allah alone. La ilaha is negation. It negates everything that is worshipped besides Allah. While illallah is affirmation. It affirms the worship of Allah alone, free from any partners, being mixed with Him in worship, just as there is no partner with Him in His dominion.
La ma'buda bihaqqin. هذه الكلمة بحق مهمة. لأن بعض الناس يقول لا معبود موجود وهذا خطأ وإنما لا معبود بحق. لماذا مهمة؟ لأن معناها أن الله هو المعبود بحق وأن ما سواه من الآلهة المعبودة هي آلهة باطلة. فلا بد أن تكون الكلمة بمعنى لا إله لا معبود بحق إلا الله.
نعم. And then the Shaykh, he explained a specific part of this definition where he says that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah. He says that this word, the right to be worshipped, this is very important. Why? Because some people, they have a mistake when they define La ilaha illallah, they define it to mean that there is no God except for Allah, or that there is nothing worshipped except for Allah. He says, but this is incorrect. And the importance of this is to understand that nothing has the right to be worshipped except Allah, and that Allah is the only one who is worshipped rightfully. His worship is correct. And whatever is worshipped besides Allah, false god, idols, false deities, then this worship is false. It's not correct.
قال الشيخ رحمه الله تعالى وتفسيرها الذي يوضحها قوله تعالى وإذ قال إبراهيم لأبيه وقومه إنني براء مما تعبدون إلا الذي فطرني فإنه سيهدين وجعلها كلمة باقية في عقبه لعلهم يرجعون وقوله تعالى قل يا أهل الكتاب تعالوا إلى كلمة سواء بيننا وبينكم ألا نعبد إلا الله ولا نشرك به شيئا ولا يتخذ بعضنا بعضا أربابا من دون الله فإن تولوا فقولوا اشهدوا بأننا مسلمون.
And then the author, he continues by saying, an explanation of this, which will clarify it even further, is found in Allah saying, and remember when Ibrahim said to his father and his people, verily I am free from all that you worship except for he who created me, and verily he will guide me, and he made it a statement that will endure amongst his offspring that they may return back to it. And also the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, say, O people of the scriptures, meaning the Jews and the Christians, come to a word that is just between us and you, that we worship none but Allah alone, and that we associate no partners in worship with him, and that none of us shall take others as lords besides Allah. Then if they turn away, say, bear witness that we are Muslims.
قوله رحمه الله تعالى وتفسيرها أي تفسير لا إله إلا الله الذي يوضحها أي الذي يبين معناها، بمعنى أن بعض الناس قد يقول لا إله إلا الله ولا يتبرأ من المشركين، فالمسلم حتى يعلم معنى لا إله إلا الله ينظر كيف كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وكيف كان إمام الحنفاء إبراهيم عليه الصلاة والسلام يتعامل مع هذه الكلمة. هل قال لا إله إلا الله وخالط أباه وقومه الذين عبدوا من دون الله وأشركوا مع الله؟ لا، لما علم أن لا إله إلا الله تبرأ من الشرك وأهله، فقال إنني براء مما تعبدون إلا الذي فطرني، إلا الله فإنني أعبده، إلا الله فإنه سيهدين. وكذا النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم دعا أهل الكتاب إلى كلمة سواء، فصل بين الحق والباطل، ألا نعبد إلا الله، ما نشرك به شيئا سبحانه وتعالى، فنعبده وحده، لا نعبد عيسى ولا عزيرا ولا شيئا من دون الله عز وجل. ولا يتخذ بعضنا بعضا أربابا، يعني الله عز وجل هو الذي له الطاعة والانقياد له بالطاعة، أما من دونه سبحانه وتعالى فإنهم مربوبون مخلوقون يسمعون ويطيعون لله وإلا ضلوا. نعم.
نعم. And then the Shaykh, he explains the statements of the author where he said an explanation of this, meaning an explanation of the Shahada, which will further clarify it. He said, why is this needed? It is needed because some people, they are Muslims, they say La ilaha illallah, but they do not truly understand it. They do not clear themselves or free themselves from the disbelievers or the mushrikeen, the polytheists. And he said, so for that we find he brings the statement of Ibrahim, where Ibrahim alayhi salam, he said to his father and to his people that verily I am free from all that you worship except for he who created me. Except for he who created me, meaning Allah. And he said that did Ibrahim mix with them and did he sit with them? No. But rather he cleared himself and he freed himself from them and what they used to worship besides Allah. And then also we find the statement of Allah where he commands the Prophet ﷺ to say, O people of the scriptures, Ahl Kitab, come to a word that is just. He said a word that divides us and you. That we will not worship anything besides Allah. And we will not ascribe partners in worship with him besides Allah. And that we do not take, and he clarified this, that we do not ascribe partners alongside Allah in worship. He said such as Isa, Jesus, alayhi salam, and Uzair, as these were people that they used to worship. And we do not take one another to be lords, arbab. He said why? Because we only obey Allah, we listen to Allah, we have to submit to Allah. We do not submit to one another. This is incorrect. No.
إذن قال الشيخ رحمه الله تعالى ودليل شهادة أن محمد رسول الله قوله تعالى لقد جاءكم رسول من أنفسكم عزيز عليه ما عنتم حريص عليكم بالمؤمنين رؤوف رحيم. تأمل كيف أن الشيخ رحمه الله تعالى في كل ما يورده يقول لك الدليل الدليل، بخلاف مشايخ الصوفية ومشايخ الضلال يقولون لك اسمع كلامنا واستجب لقولنا وإلا فأنت ضال.
And then the author continues by saying the proof for the statement or for the testification that Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the statement of Allah that verily there has come to you a messenger from amongst yourselves. It grieves him that you should receive any injury or difficulty. He is anxious over you to be guided. He is full of kindness and mercy towards the believers. And then the Shaykh in explaining, he said, notice and give attention to how the Shaykh Muhammad Abdul Wahhab and everything that he wants to bring and every point that he wants to make, he brings dalil, he brings evidence. And he said, notice that this is the difference between people of the Sunnah, people like Muhammad Abdul Wahhab, and the people of misguidance like the Sufiya and other than them. People, the scholars of the Sufis and others upon misguidance, they will say, follow me, listen to what I say, otherwise you are misguided. And here, this is the opposite.
قال الشيخ رحمه الله تعالى ومعنى شهادة أن محمد رسول الله طاعته فيما أمر وتصديقه فيما أخبر واجتناب ما نهى واجتناب ما عنه نهى وزجر وأن لا يعبد الله وأن لا يعبد الله إلا بما شرع.
نعم. And then the author continues by saying that the meaning of the testification that Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is obeying him in what he has commanded, believing him in what he has informed us of, avoiding what he forbade and warned us against, and not worshipping Allah except by what he sallallahu alaihi wasallam has prescribed.
يعني الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم بشر اصطفاه الله رسولا لهذا الدين. ما فائدة كونه رسولا صلى الله عليه وسلم؟ أن يطاع فيما أمر وأن يجتنب ما نهى عنه صلى الله عليه وسلم وزجر وأن يصدق عليه الصلاة والسلام فيما أخبر به من الأمور المستقبلية من عذاب القبر من أمور الآخرة فيما أخبر به عن الله عز وجل لأنه صلى الله عليه وسلم رسول رب العالمين. وأيضا أن لا تعبد الله عز وجل إلا بما جاء به الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم. إذن لابد من هذه الأربع الأمور. الأمر الأول طاعته صلى الله عليه وسلم فيما أمر. الأمر الثاني اجتناب ما نهى عنه وزجر. الأمر الثالث تصديقه صلى الله عليه وسلم. لو تعارض قوله صلى الله عليه وسلم مع قول علماء الطب أو علماء الفلك أو قول أي إنسان آخر لا يقدم إلا قول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. لماذا؟ لأنه وحي من الله عز وجل، وما ينطق عن الهوى إن هو إلا وحي يوحى. الأمر الرابع ماذا؟ ألا تعبد الله إلا بما جاء به الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم، كما قال الله عز وجل: وما أرسلنا من رسول إلا ليطاع بإذن الله. نعم.
So he said that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is a person, he's a human, but Allah has chosen him to be the messenger. So what is the role of the messenger, or what is the point of the messenger? The role or the point or the benefit of the messenger is that we believe him in what he, or first of all, that we obey him in what he commands, and we stay away from what he has forbidden us from, and that we believe him in what he informs us of, and that we do not worship Allah except by the way he has prescribed. He said, so we have to believe, we have to obey the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in everything that he commands, and we have to stay away from everything that he has forbidden, and we have to believe in everything that he informs us of. And then he said, if the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had informed us of something, and doctors or scientists inform of something else in opposition to this, we take the statement of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and we place that first. We believe that. We do not equate the statement of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to anyone else. So we believe in him, we believe in what he has informed us. Why? Because the statements of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what he has informed us, what he has commanded us, what he has forbidden us from, all of this is revelation from Allah. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is bringing what Allah has informed him. And we do not worship Allah except by the way that he has prescribed.
قوله رحمه الله وأن لا يعبد الله إلا بما شرع. هذه نقطة مهمة لابد لكل مسلم أن يعلمها، وهو أنه لا يتقرب إلى الله إلا بما جاء به رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. ولو تقرب إلى الله بعمل، بأي عبادة لم يأتي بها الرسول، لا تقبل منه. ما الدليل؟ قول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: من عمل عملا ليس عليه أمرنا فهو رد. فباب البدع والأعمال والطاعات التي لم يأتي بها الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم كلها مردودة غير مقبولة. نعم.
And the Shaykh he focused and he explained the last point when he said that we have these four points from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that we must understand. But there was something that I forgot to translate, which is he quoted an ayah that Allah did not send any messenger except that he should be obeyed by the permission of Allah. So then he went on to explain this last point, which is not worshipping Allah except by what he has prescribed. And he said this is very important to understand. And it means that a person cannot get close to Allah except by what the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam has brought. So if a person was to try and worship Allah, any form of worship, and it is in opposition or it is not something that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought, then that action is rejected. And the proof for this is the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a hadith: من عمل عملا, whoever does an action which is in opposition or which is not upon what من عمل عملا ليس عليه أمرنا, which is not upon what we have, يعني ليس عليه أمرنا, which is not upon our way, فهو رد, then it is rejected. Now, so this hadith is a proof that anything that is not upon the path of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that it is rejected.
قال الشيخ رحمه الله تعالى: ودليل الصلاة والزكاة وتفسير التوحيد قوله تعالى: وما أمروا إلا ليعبدوا الله مخلصين له الدين ويقيموا الصلاة ويؤتوا الزكاة وذلك دين القيمة. ودليل الصيام قوله تعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. ودليل الحج قوله تعالى: ولله على الناس حج البيت من استطاع إليه سبيلا.
Now, and then the author, he continues by saying the proof for salah, for prayer and zakah, and the explanation of tawheed is found in Allah's statement: and they were not commanded except that they should worship Allah, making the religion, yani worship, making the religion solely for Him alone, and that they should perform prayer and give zakat, and this is the right religion. The ayah from Surah Al-Bayyinah. And also the proof for fasting is the statement of Allah: O you who believe, fasting is prescribed upon you just as it was prescribed for those before you in order that you may acquire taqwa. The ayah from Surah Al-Baqarah. And the proof for hajj is the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal: and hajj, or pilgrimage to the house, is a duty that mankind owes to Allah for those who are able to do it, and whoever disbelieves, then indeed Allah is not in need of His creation. The ayah from Ali Imran.
هذه أدلة الصلاة والزكاة والصيام والحج وقوله وتفسير التوحيد أي أن الله عز وجل أمر بعبادته مخلصين له الدين حنفاء، يعني أن الله لم يأمر فقط بعبادته أن تعبده وممكن يعني أن تعبده ويمكن أن تعبد غيره، لا، بل الله عز وجل أمر بعبادته وحده مخلصين. الإخلاص معناه أن تفرد الله بالعبادة ولا تشرك به شيئا.
نعم. So then the Sheikh he explained the first point about the proof for salah, for prayer and zakat, and the explanation of tawheed in this ayah. And he said the explanation of tawheed is in the statement of Allah making the religion pure, making the religion, yani worship, solely for Him alone. So this ikhlas, this purity in the religion, it means that you worship Allah Azza wa Jal alone. It does not mean that you just worship. He said it does not mean that Allah has commanded us to just worship Him so that we may worship Him and perhaps worship other than Him. No, this is incorrect. What is correct is that we worship Him alone and no one else.
قال الشيخ رحمه الله تعالى: المرتبة الثانية الإيمان. الإيمان في اللغة التصديق، والإيمان عند أهل السنة والجماعة قول باللسان واعتقاد بالقلب وعمل بالجوارح. نعم.
نعم. And then the author continues to the next level, which is the level of iman. And the Sheikh said that iman, the word iman or belief in the language, the Arabic language, is tasdiq, which means to believe. And the definition, as it is known by Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, it is that iman is a belief in the heart, statement upon the tongue, and action upon the limbs.
قال الشيخ رحمه الله تعالى: وهو أي الإيمان 74 شعبة، فأعلاها قول لا إله إلا الله، وأدناها إماطة الأذى عن الطريق، والحياء شعبة من الإيمان. هذا كما جاء عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. نعم.
نعم. So then the Sheikh he continued with the statement of the author that iman consists of 70 some odd branches, the highest of them being the statement La ilaha illallah, none has the right to be worshipped except Allah. And the lowest of them is to remove a harmful object from the path, from the road. And haya, or modesty or shyness, is a branch from iman. And the Shaykh said that yes, this is as related from a hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi
وسلم. هذا الحديث فيه فوائد. الأولى أن الإيمان درجات وشعب.
He said in this hadith there are many benefits. The first is that iman is made up of different branches.
وأن أعلى الإيمان هو التوحيد، قول لا إله إلا الله. وأن التوحيد أعظم شيء وأشرفه، كما مر معنا من قول المصنف رحمه الله، وأعظم ما أمر الله به التوحيد، وأعظم ما نهى عنه الشرك. نعم.
نعم. And then he said that the highest of them, the greatest of them, of these branches, is لا إله إلا الله. That none has the right to be worshipped except Allah. And he said this is similar to the statement of the author in the beginning of the treatise, where he mentioned that the greatest thing with which Allah has commanded is to worship Allah Azza wa Jal alone, Tawheed. The statement of is Tawheed. And that the greatest thing that Allah has forbidden is Shirk.
إماطة الأذى عن الطريق، وهذا يفيد أن العمل من الإيمان، أن العمل من الإيمان. نعم.
نعم. And then the lowest branch, he said also from the benefits, is that the lowest branch is removing a harmful object from the road, from the path. And he said in this indicates that action is from إيمان, action is from belief.
طيب. والحياء شعبة من الإيمان، صفة الحياء المانعة من فعل الأمر المحرم وفعل الأمر المكروه وفعل الأمر الذي يظن بصاحبه الأمر السوء، دليل على إيمان صاحبه وهو جزء من الإيمان.
And the Sheikh explained about حياء, modesty or shyness being a branch from iman. He said what is meant here is shyness that prevents a person from falling into that which is prohibited, falling into that which is haram, or falling into that which is disliked or detested, makruh, and making a person fall into affairs which he may be accused of. So this is part of iman, to have this type of shyness.
قال الشيخ رحمه الله تعالى وأركانه أي أركان الإيمان ستة: أن تؤمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله واليوم الآخر وبالقدر خيره وشره. نعم، هذه أركان الإيمان الستة كما في حديث جبريل الآتي إن شاء الله.
And then the author continues by stating its six pillars, or its pillars are six, and the pillars of iman are six. The first is that you believe in Allah, and the second His angels, the third His books, the fourth His messengers, the fifth the last day, and the sixth that you believe in Al-Qadr, the divine decree, the good of it and the bad of it. And the Shaykh, he said that these six pillars are as mentioned in the hadith of Jibreel, which will come.
والدليل على هذه الأركان الستة قوله تعالى: ليس البر أن تولوا وجوهكم قبل المشرق والمغرب ولكن البر من آمن بالله واليوم الآخر والملائكة والنبيين. ودليل القدر قوله: إنا كل شيء خلقناه بقدر. هذه الآية الأولى ذكرت أربع أركان: الإيمان بالله واليوم الآخر والملائكة والكتب والنبيين، ولا خمسة بالله واليوم الآخر والملائكة والكتب والنبيين خمسة، ثم القدر في هذه الآية. فهذه الآية دليل على أركان الإيمان الستة. نعم.
And the author continues by saying the proof for these six pillars is the statement of Allah: righteousness, bir, is not that you turn your faces towards the east and the west in prayer, but rather righteousness is for those who believe in Allah, for those who believe in Allah, the last day, the angels, the books, and the prophets. And the proof for al-qadr is the statement, or the divine decree, is the statement of Allah, verily we have created everything with qadr, with divine decree. So he said that in these two ayah, these two ayat, we have all of the pillars. The first ayah contains belief in Allah, the last day, the angels, the books, and the prophet. These are five. And in the second ayah, we have belief in al-qadr, or the divine decree. This is six.
أن تؤمن بالله ربا ومعبودا وله الأسماء الحسنى والصفات العلى كما جاء في القرآن والسنة.
The first is that you believe in Allah as your Lord, and that He is the one to be worshipped, and that for Him are the most beautiful names and attributes, as we have preceded before in explaining, and as it has come in the book and the Sunnah. Now.
وأن تؤمن بالملائكة الذين ذكر الله عز وجل أسماءهم كجبريل وإسرافيل وميكائيل ويعني خازن النار مالك وقالوا يا مالك ليقضي علينا ربك فتؤمن بهؤلاء الملائكة الذين جاءت أسماءهم في القرآن أو السنة على التفصيل وتؤمن بالإجمال بأن الملائكة عددهم كثير فإن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ذكر أن ليلة القدر ينزل فيها من الملائكة عدد كعدد الحصى. نعم.
نعم. And then about the angels, he said firstly in detail that we believe in the angels also have been mentioned in detail, such as Jibril and Mikael, Gabriel and Michael, and Israfil and Malik, the one who is in Jahannam, the one who is in control, the Khazin of Jahannam. And those who have been mentioned in detail in the Kitab or the Sunnah, in the book or the Sunnah, we believe in them in detail, in the details that have been mentioned. And also we believe that the angels in general, all of them, are plenty, there are many of them. And he mentioned one dalil, or one evidence of this, which is that there is a hadith regarding Laylatul Qadr, in which the Messenger of Allah ﷺ explained that the number of angels who come down in that night are like the number of small stones or pebbles on earth.
وَكَذَا الْكُتُبُ وَالرُّسُلُ مَنْ جَاءَتْ أَسْمَاؤُهُمْ في القرآن والسنة نؤمن بهم على التفصيل ومن لم تأتي أسماؤهم نؤمن بهم إجمالا كما جاء في القرآن والسنة والإيمان باليوم الآخر وبالقدر خيره وشره أيضا نؤمن بذلك كما جاءت الأدلة في الكتاب والسنة. نعم.
نعم. And then he briefly explained that similarly in regards to the books and the messengers, that we believe in detail that which has been explained in detail by names. We believe in them by name, and we believe in general those who we don't know by name, or the books that we don't know by name, we believe in them in general. And lastly, the last day and Qadr, we believe in everything that has come in regards to these affairs in the book and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
قال الشيخ رحمه الله تعالى والإيمان قال الشيخ رحمه الله تعالى المرتبة الثالثة الإحسان وهو ركن واحد وهو أن تعبد الله كأنك تراه فإن لم تكن تراه فإنه يراك هذا كما جاء في حديث جبريل وسيأتي إن شاء الله وهذه المرتبة الإحسان أهلها قليلون وهي أعلى المراتب فالله عز وجل مع الذين اتقوا والذين هم محسنون هي أعلى المراتب وهي ولها ركن واحد ما هو هذا الركن؟ هو المراقبة المراقبة لله عز وجل أن تعبد الله كأنك تراه فإنك إن لم تكن تراه فإن الله يراك. نعم.
Now and then the author continues with the level of إحسان, the third of these three levels, the level of إحسان. And he says that ihsan is one, it has one pillar, which means, or which is, that you worship Allah as if you see Him, And even though you do not see him, that Allah sees you. And he says that, and the Shaykh explained that this will come in further detail in the hadith of Jibreel. And he said that this level, this last level of ihsan, is the highest level, and the people of this level are the least, they are few in number, because it is the highest level. And he mentioned the ayah, as the author has mentioned here, that verily Allah is with those who have taqwa and those who have ihsan.
قال الشيخ رحمه الله تعالى والدليل قوله تعالى إن الله مع الذين اتقوا والذين إن الله مع الذين اتقوا والذين هم محسنون وقوله تعالى وتوكل على العزيز الرحيم الذي يراك حين تقوم وتقلبك في الساجدين إنه هو السميع العليم شاهد منها الذي يراك حين تقوم وقوله تعالى وما تكون في شأن وما تتلو منه من قرآن ولا تعملون من عمل إلا كنا عليكم شهودا إذ تفيضون فيه أي نراكم ونعلم بحالكم نعم
نعم. And then the author continues by citing evidences. He says the proof for this is Allah's statement, verily Allah is with those who have taqwa and those who have ihsan. Obviously those who have ihsan, that is intended. And also the statement of Allah, and put your trust in the Almighty, Al-Aziz, the Most Merciful, Al-Rahim, who sees you when you stand up, and who sees your movements amongst those who prostrate themselves to Him. Verily He is the All-Hearer, the All-Knower. And he said what is intended, is He is the one who sees you, so Allah sees everything. And also, from the evidences, is the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, there is no deed that you do, nor any portion of the Qur'an that you recite, nor any deed that you do, except that we are witness while you are doing it. He said, so here, the point is that Allah Azza wa Jal is witness, meaning He hears and He sees everything.
قوله تعالى إن الله مع الذين اتقوا الآية هذه يستدل بها الشيخ على أن الله مع المتقين أي بعلمه ويراهم ويعلم حالهم.
نعم. The explaining the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal that verily Allah is with those who have taqwa and those who have ihsan. He said it means that Allah, the Shaykh is using this as a proof to say that Allah is with those who have taqwa, those who fear Allah, they have dutifulness to Allah. And it means that Allah is with them in His hearing and His sight. He is always hearing and always seeing. No.
قال الشيخ رحمه الله تعالى والدليل من السنة حديث جبريل المشهور عن عمر رضي الله عنه قال بينما نحن جلوس عند رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ذات يوم إذ طلع علينا رجل شديد بياض الثياب شديد سواد الشعر لا يرى عليه أثر السفر ولا يعرفه منا أحد حتى جلس إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فأسند ركبتيه إلى ركبتيه ووضع كفيه على فخذيه وقال يا محمد أخبرني عن الإسلام فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الإسلام أن تشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمدا رسول الله وتقيم الصلاة وتؤتي الزكاة وتصوم رمضان وتحج البيت إن استطعت إليه سبيلا قال جبريل صدقت فعجبنا له يسأله ويصدقه قال فأخبرني عن الإيمان قال أن تؤمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله واليوم الآخر وتؤمن بالقدر خيره وشره قال صدقت قال فأخبرني عن الإحسان قال أن تعبد الله كأنك تراه فإنك قال أن تعبد الله كأنك تراه فإن لم تكن تراه فإنه يراك قال فأخبرني عن الساعة قال ما المسؤول عنها بأعلم من السائل قال فأخبرني عن أماراتها قال أن تلد الأمة ربتها وأن ترى الحفاة العراة العالة رعاع الشاة يتطاولون في البنيان ثم انطلق فلبثت مليا ثم قال يا عمر أتدري من السائل؟ قلت الله ورسوله أعلم. قال فإنه جبريل أتاكم يعلمكم دينكم.
Now, so the author, he said, and the proof from the Sunnah is the famous hadith of Jibreel alayhi salam, in which it is reported that Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, he said, one day while we were sitting with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, there appeared a man to us with extremely white garments and extremely black hair. No trace of journey could be seen upon him, nor did anyone amongst us recognize him. Then he sat in front of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, lining up his knees with his knees and placing his palms on his thighs, and he said, O Muhammad, inform me about Islam. So he said sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, it is that you testify that there is no deity that has the right to be worshipped except Allah, and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, and that you establish the prayer and give zakat and fast in Ramadan, and that you perform the hajj pilgrimage to Allah's house, if you are able to do it. And then he said, you have spoken truthfully. So Umar, he says, so we were amazed that he asked him, and then he said, you have spoken truthfully. So then he continued, so he said, now inform me about Iman. And he responded, yani the Messenger of Allah responded, it is that you believe in Allah, His angels, His books, His messengers, the last day, and that you believe in Qadr, the good of it and the bad of it. He said, you have spoken truthfully. Now inform me about Ihsan. So Prophet ﷺ, he responded, it is that you worship Allah as if you see Him, but even though you do not see Him, indeed He sees you. And then the questioner, he said, now inform me about the final hour, the sa'ah, the final hour. So the Messenger of Allah ﷺ, he responded by saying, the one who is being asked does not have any more knowledge than the one who is asking. He said, then inform me about its signs. He said, it will be when the mother gives birth to her Rabbah, which is a female master, as in one interpretation of the hadith. When a mother gives birth to her female master, and when the barefoot, barren, lowly shepherds will compete with one another in constructing tall buildings. Then he left, and we remained seated there for a while, and then he said, O Umar, do you know who the questioner was? And he said, Allah and His Messenger knows best. He said, verily it was Jibreel, he came to teach you your religion.
هذا الحديث واضح لكن نعلق على بعض المواطن. أولا في حديث جبريل هذا بيان أن الإسلام أن هذا الدين هو الإسلام والإيمان والإحسان، فإن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بعد ما ذهب جبريل قال هذا جبريل أتاكم يعلمكم دينكم أي دينكم الإسلام.
نعم. And the Sheikh, he said that in explaining this hadith, he said the explanation is clear. Yani this hadith is fairly clear, but there are only a few points that we wish to focus on. He said, first of all, that notice that the religion, all of the religion, it contains these three levels: Islam, Iman, and Ihsan. And that is because in the end of the hadith, he said, Jibreel came to teach you your deen, your religion. And in the hadith, he explained Islam, Iman, and Ihsan.
ثانيا كما قال العلماء النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فسر الإسلام بالأعمال الظاهرة وفسر الإيمان بالأعمال الباطنة القلبية ثم فسر الإحسان بأنه المراقبة لله عز وجل.
Now the second note is that the messenger, as the ulama have explained, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in explaining Islam, he explained it with the outward actions, the bodily actions, physical actions. And in explaining Iman, he explained it with the inner actions of the heart, belief and so on. And with Ihsan, he explained that it is muraqabatullah, to know that Allah is watching you and to beware of Allah.
أيضا قوله قول الصحابة أو قول عمر أتدري من السائل لما قال له النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أتدري من السائل قال عمر الله ورسوله أعلم، هذا في حياة النبي، أما بعد موت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فيقال الله أعلم من غير أن نذكر الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم كما نبه على ذلك العلماء.
The third point to note is that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he asked Jibril, do you know who the questioner was? And Umar radiallahu anhu, he responded by saying, Allah and his Messenger knows best. He said this is in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is during the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. However, after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we simply say Allah knows best, as the ulama have explained in this issue.
انتهينا الآن من الأصل الأول والأصل الثاني. الأصل الأول معرفة العبد ربه، والأصل الثاني معرفة العبد دينه، والأصل الثالث معرفة العبد نبيه محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم، هذا الذي بعثه الله عز وجل واصطفاه لهذه الأمة صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.
نعم. And he says, so now we have finished from the first principle, which is knowing Allah, or that the servant should know Allah, and that we have finished from the second principle, which is the servant knowing his deen, his religion, and now we move on to the third principle, which is knowing the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that he is Muhammad. Allah has chosen him and sent him to this nation, to this ummah sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
قال شيخ الإسلام الأصل الثالث معرفة نبيكم محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، من جهة الاسم هو وهو محمد ابن عبد الله ابن عبد المطلب ابن هاشم، وهاشم من قريش، وقريش من العرب، والعرب من ذرية إسماعيل ابن إبراهيم ابن إبراهيم الخليل عليه وعلى نبينا أفضل الصلاة والسلام، وله من العمر 63 سنة أي حين مات، منها 40 قبل النبوة، 23 نبيا رسولا، نبئ بإقرأ وأرسل بالمدثر، وبلده مكة، وهاجر إلى المدينة، وبعثه الله بالنذارة عن الشرك ويدعو إلى التوحيد.
Now, so the author, he says, the third fundamental principle is knowledge of your prophet Muhammad. And he is Muhammad, the son of Abdullah, the son of Abdul Muttalib, the son of Hashim. And Hashim is from the tribe of Quraysh, and Quraysh is from the Arab, and the Arab are from the offspring of Ismail, the son of Ibrahim. May Allah send peace, send may Allah send the best peace and blessings upon him and upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He lived for 63 years, 40 of which was prior to his prophethood, and 23 he spent as a prophet, a messenger. He became a prophet with the revelation of Iqra, the ayah in Surah Al-Alaq, meaning read, and he was made a prophet with the revelation of Ya Ayyuhal Mudathir, or you wrapped in garments, from Surah Al-Mudathir. And his homeland was Mecca, and then he migrated to Medina, and Allah sent him to warn against shirk, polytheism, and to call to tawheed, pure monotheism.
هذا هو نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم من جهة الاسم ومن جهة العمر حين مات صلى الله عليه وسلم، ومن جهة أيضا بدء النبوة وبعثته صلى الله عليه وسلم، فقد نبئ على 40 لما جاءه جبريل وقال له اقرأ، ثم أرسل لما قيل له يا أيها المدثر قم فأنذر، وكان موطنه وبلده ومولده في مكة صلى الله عليه وسلم، ثم أخرج من مكة فهاجر إلى المدينة، بعثه الله عز وجل بالنذارة أي بالتخويف من الشرك، أن من مات مشركا لا يدخل الجنة، وأنه خالد مخلد في النار، ويدعو إلى التوحيد، إلى توحيد الله وعدم الشرك به، وأن من مات موحدا دخل الجنة إما ابتداءً وإما إن كان ممن يستحق العذاب، ثم ما دام معه شيء من الإيمان فإنه يخرج من النار ويدخل الجنة. أسأل الله عز وجل أن يجعلني وإياكم والسامعين من أهل الجنة، وأن يبعدني وإياكم والسامعين عن النار.
Now, so then the Shaykh, he quickly explained and reiterated some of the points. So he said that here the author has explained that he is Muhammad and has explained his lineage in terms of his names and his lineage. And he has also spoken about his life, his age when he died. He was 63. And when he received prophethood, which was at the age of 40, and how he received prophethood, which is with the revelation of Iqra, and how he became a messenger with the revelation of Ya Ayyuhal Mudathir, Qum Fa'anthir, the ayah in Surah Al-Mudathir, and also something about his home, which is Mecca, the land that he was born in and he lived in, and then that he was kicked out after some time, and he was forced to migrate, after Allah permitted him, to Medina, and that he came, Allah sent him to warn against shirk. And he explained that this means that he came to explain to the people and make them realize and to explain the danger of shirk, to warn them so that they fear falling into shirk, and to explain also and to call to tawheed, proper Islamic monotheism. And he said that the one who dies upon shirk will enter the hellfire, and that the one who dies upon tawheed will enter into paradise, either directly into paradise, or if he deserves to be punished, that he will be punished, and then Allah will at some point remove him from the hellfire and enter him into paradise.
نعم. ثم قال الشيخ رحمه الله: والدليل قوله تعالى: يا أيها المدثر قم فأنذر، وربك فكبر، وثيابك فطهر، والرجز فاهجر، ولا تمنن تستكثر، ولربك فاصبر. ومعنى قم فأنذر ينذر عن الشرك ويدعو إلى التوحيد. وربك فكبر أي عظمه بالتوحيد. وثيابك فطهر أي طهر أعمالك عن الشرك. والرجز فاهجر، الرجز الأصنام، وهجرها تركها وأهلها، والبراءة منها وأهلها. أخذ على هذا 10 سنين يدعو إلى التوحيد، أي في مكة. نعم.
Now, and then the author, he says that the proof for this is the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal in Surah Al-Mudathir: O you wrapped up in garments, rise and warn and magnify your Lord and purify your garments and abandon rujus, which is the idols, and do not give away something in order to have more, and be patient for the sake of your Lord. He said the meaning of rise and warn is to warn against shirk and to call to tawheed. And to magnify your Lord means to glorify Him by way of tawheed. And to purify your garments, it means to cleanse your actions from shirk and abandon rujus. Rujus are statues and idols. And abandon means to leave them and free yourself from them and do not worship them. And then the author continues by saying that he remained doing this for 10 years, calling the people to tawheed.
الشيخ رحمه الله تعالى ذكر الدليل على ما سبق من بعثته صلى الله عليه وسلم، وأنه أمر بالتوحيد وأمر بالنذارة والتخويف من الشرك، وأنه أمر أيضا بتعظيم الله عز وجل كما ذكر الشيخ رحمه الله تعالى. ثم قال: وبعد العشر، أي بعد 10 سنين التي في مكة، لا زال هو بمكة، وبعد العشر عرج به إلى السماء، وفرضت عليه الصلاة الصلوات الخمس، وصلى في مكة 3 سنين، وبعدها أمر بالهجرة إلى المدينة، والهجرة الانتقال من بلد الشرك إلى بلد الإسلام.
نعم. And then the Shaykh, he reiterated again from the meanings of this ayah: to rise and warn, to warn against shirk, and to magnify your Lord, and to purify yourself, purify your garments, and to abandon al-rujuz. And he said that he remained doing this in Mecca for 10 years. And while he was, after 10 years, but while he was still in Mecca, he was ascended to the heavens where he, where the 5 daily prayers were made obligatory upon him. So he prayed in Mecca for 3 years, and thereafter he was ordered to make hijrah, to make migration to Medina. And he said, the author, he says, that migration or hijrah means moving from a land of shirk to a land of Islam.
إذن شيخ الإسلام محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله تعالى يبين لنا أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يدعو قومه إلى التوحيد وكان يحذرهم ويخوفهم من الشرك 10 سنين، ثم بعد ذلك عرج به إلى السماء وفرضت عليه الصلوات 5 كما هو معروف في حادثة الإسراء والمعراج، ثم صلى في مكة عليه الصلاة والسلام 3 سنين، وبعدها أمر بالهجرة إلى المدينة. قال الشيخ: وبعدها أمر بالهجرة إلى المدينة، والهجرة الانتقال من بلد الشرك إلى بلد الإسلام، وذلك أن أهل مكة ضايقوه وآذوه وضيقوا الخناق عليه وعلى أصحابه رضوان الله عليهم، فأمر ليظهر دينه ولينتقل إلى المدينة لتكون العاصمة لهذا الدين، وتكون المدينة هي دولة الإسلام الأولى، هي دولة الإسلام الأولى، لأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لم يستطع أن يظهر دينه في مكة، أوذي مع أن مكة أحب البلاد إليه وهي حرم، ولكن كان المشركون متسلطين عليها وعلى أهلها، لم يستطع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، لأن الجهاد لم يفرض بعد، فلم يستطع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أن يقيم دولة الإسلام بمكة، فأمر بالهجرة إلى المدينة، فهاجر إلى المدينة ونصره أهل الأنصار من أهل المدينة، وهاجر من هاجر معه من المؤمنين من أهل مكة، فقامت الدولة الإسلامية. نعم.
So the Sheikh, he said that this was the condition that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he warned his people against shirk and he commanded them with Tawheed for 10 years, and he remained upon that until he was taken up to the heavens where he was given the 5 daily prayers, as it is well known in the incident of Isra and Mi'raj, the night journey and the ascension. And then afterwards he remained 3 years in Mecca worshipping Allah and calling as he did. And then he was commanded to leave, to make migration to Medina. And he said this is because of what the people of Mecca did to him. They burdened him, they harmed him, they physically harmed him, and they made it difficult for him and his companions. And when that was the condition, after a number of years, Allah commanded him to migrate to Medina, so that he may worship Allah and that he may establish the religion in Medina. And with that, Medina became the asima, it became the capital of Islam, and it became the first Muslim country. And the reason is because in Mecca he was not able to establish the religion as he was in Medina, and in Mecca he was not commanded to fight, but when he went to Medina, Allah ordered him with all of these things. So in Medina they had the first Muslim country, and he was able to establish the religion, him and his companions. And when he went to Medina, he was supported by the Ansar, the people of Medina, and the companions who believed in him in Mecca, who were able to migrate, they also migrated with him to Medina.
قال الشيخ رحمه الله تعالى: والهجرة فريضة على هذه الأمة. يعني أن الهجرة وهي الانتقال من بلاد الكفر إلى بلاد الإسلام أمر واجب. وهنا ننبه على أن البقاء في بلاد الكفر من باب التجارة ومن باب الاشتغال ببعض أمور الدنيا لا مانع منه. ما المانع؟ المانع أن يستوطن بلاد الكفر، أن ينوي الإقامة في بلاد الكفر إلى أن يموت، هذا ما يجوز. ولكن الإقامة في بلاد الكفر من باب التجارة ومن باب قضاء بعض الأمور، ولو طالت المدة سنة سنتين ثلاثة عشرة ثم هو ينوي الرجوع إلى بلده بلد الإسلام، فإن هذا لا يدخل في النهي عن الإقامة في بلاد الكفر. لابد أن نفرق بين الأمرين.
And the author, he continues by saying that it is obligatory upon this ummah to migrate from a land of shirk to a land of Islam. And now, and the Shaykh, he said that here we must point out something. So the obligation of migration of hijrah is remaining upon this ummah. It is something that remains upon this ummah. But it is allowed for a people, for example, to move to the land of the disbelievers, to move to the land of shirk for trading or commerce or for other reasons, other valid, legitimate, legislated reasons in Islam, on the condition that they do not intend to remain there forever. They do not intend to live and die in that land. They simply intend to go there and finish whatever their needs are, to gain whatever they need, and then come back to the land of the Muslims. So he said that there is no harm if a person was to go to the land of the disbelievers a year, two, three, even 10 years, but he does not intend to remain in those lands.
قال الشيخ رحمه الله تعالى: والهجرة فريضة على هذه الأمة من بلد الشرك إلى بلد الإسلام، وهي باقية إلى أن تقوم الساعة. طيب، قول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، قول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا هجرة بعد الفتح، أي لا هجرة من مكة، لا هجرة من مكة. أما الهجرة التي هي بمعنى الانتقال من بلد الكفر إلى بلاد الإسلام، هذه باقية إلى قيام الساعة.
Now, when the author, he said that it is obligatory upon this ummah to migrate from the land of shirk to the land of Islam, and this is everlasting until the final hour, the sa'ah is established. He said, so what about the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that there is no hijrah, there is no migration after the conquest of Mecca? He said this means that in his time there is no migration from Mecca to Medina as it was in his time. But as for generally migrating from the land of disbelievers to the land of Islam, then this remains an obligation upon this ummah until the end of time.
قال الشيخ رحمه الله تعالى: والدليل قوله تعالى: إن الذين توفاهم الملائكة ظالمي أنفسهم قالوا فيما كنتم قالوا كنا مستضعفين في الأرض قالوا ألم تكن أرض الله واسعة فتهاجروا فيها فأولئك مأواهم جهنم وساءت مصيرا إلا المستضعفين من الرجال والنساء والولدان لا يستطيعون حيلة ولا يهتدون سبيلا فأولئك عسى الله أن يعفو عنهم وكان الله عفوا غفورا. ففي هذه الآية أن الله عز وجل ذم الذين لم يهاجروا من بلاد الكفر إلى بلاد الإسلام إلا من كان لا يستطيع الهجرة كمن النساء أو الولدان أو الرجال كبار السن. نعم.
Now, and then the author, he cites as evidence for the statement about the obligation of hijrah, of migration, he cites the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal: Verily, as for those whom the angels take in death while they are wrongdoing themselves, they will say to them, in what condition were you? And they will reply, we were weak and oppressed in the earth. The angels will say, was not the earth of Allah spacious for you enough that you may migrate therein? Such men will find their abode in hell. What an evil destination, except the weak ones amongst men, women and children, who cannot devise a plan, nor are they able to direct their way. These are the ones whom Allah will forgive, and Allah is ever of pardoning, most merciful. So the Shaykh, he explained here that in this ayah, Allah Azza wa Jal blamed and held blameworthy those people who did not migrate from the land of the Muslims to the land, from the land of the disbelievers to the land of the Muslims. They are blameworthy, except for those who have a valid reason, such as the weak from the men, the elderly, the women, the children who are not able to migrate. Now.
قال الشيخ رحمه الله تعالى: وقوله تعالى: يا عبادي الذين آمنوا إن أرضي واسعة يا عبادي الذين آمنوا إن أرضي واسعة فإياي فاعبدون. فالله عز وجل خاطب الذين لم يهاجروا أن يهاجروا إلى أرض الله الواسعة إلى بلاد الإسلام إذا ضيقوا من أهل الكفر. قال البغوي رحمه الله: سبب نزول هذه الآية في المسلمين الذين بمكة لم يهاجروا ناداهم الله باسم الإيمان.
نعم. And then the author, he continues also by citing the ayah in which Allah Azza wa Jalla says, O my servants who believe, verily my earth is spacious, so to me alone perform your worship. So the Shaykh, he said that here Allah Azza wa Jalla is addressing the people who did not perform hijrah, the people who did not migrate. As Al-Baghawi rahimahullah, the author quotes the statement of Al-Baghawi here, where he says, the reason for revelation of this ayah was due to some Muslims who resided in Mecca and did not migrate to Medina, and Allah called out to them or addressed them using the title of Iman.
قال الشيخ رحمه الله تعالى: والدليل على الهجرة من السنة قوله صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا تنقطع الهجرة حتى تنقطع التوبة، ولا تنقطع التوبة حتى تطلع الشمس من مغربها. فلما استقر بالمدينة أمر ببقية شرائع الإسلام مثل الزكاة والصوم والحج والأذان والجهاد والأمر بالمعروف والنهي عن المنكر وغير ذلك من شرائع الإسلام.
نعم. And the author, he continues by saying, and the proof for migration from the Sunnah is the statement of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, Hijrah or migration will not cease until repentance ceases, and repentance will not cease to be accepted until the sun rises from the west. So when he settled in Medina, the author continues, so when he settled in Medina, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was commanded with all of the remaining laws of Islam, such as zakat, fasting, hajj, adhan, jihad, commanding good and forbidding evil, as well as the other laws of Islam.
يعني الشيخ رحمه الله تعالى أن السنة أيضا دلت على عدم انقطاع الهجرة، ثم ذكر أنه بعد أن أمر بالتوحيد وخوف من الشرك وانتقل إلى المدينة، أمر حينما استقر بالمدينة أمر ببقية شرائع الإسلام من الزكاة والصيام والحج والأذان والجهاد. وإنما أراد الشيخ رحمه الله تعالى أن تفاصيل هذه الأحكام كانت في المدينة أغلبها، وإلا كان في مكة الأمر بالصلاة والأمر أيضا بالزكاة. نعم.
نعم. And the Shaykh he said that what the author intends here is that he's proving as well that hijrah is also the obligation for hijrah is also found in the Sunnah. And then the author, he continued about talking about the other laws of Islam, the other sharia, the other known signs of Islam and legislation of Islam, which was legislated in Medina. So he said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he called the people to tawheed and he warned against shirk in Mecca. And then when he went to Medina after migration, the rest of the laws of Islam were established. He said this is in general, and what he means by this is that he means to say that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam focused primarily on Tawheed when he was in Mecca, even though some of the other laws were revealed, such as Zakat. But in the detail of these laws were revealed in Medina.
قال الشيخ رحمه الله تعالى: أخذ أي الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم على هذا 10 سنين، يعني كان في المدينة يعلم الناس أحكام الدين ويأمرهم بالمعروف وينهم عن المنكر، يعلمهم الصلاة والصيام والحج وشرائع هذا الدين. وبعدها توفي صلوات الله وسلامه عليه، ودينه باق أي دين الإسلام، وهذا دينه أي الإسلام والإيمان والإحسان. لا خير إلا دل الأمة عليه، يعني أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم دل الأمة على كل ما يحتاجون إليه من خير، فلا تطلب الخير من غيره صلى الله عليه وسلم، ولا شر إلا حذرها منه، فالشر كل الشر في مخالفة سنته صلى الله عليه وسلم وفي الشرك بالله. قال: ولا شر إلا حذرها منه، والخير الذي دلها عليه هو التوحيد وجميع ما يحبه الله ويرضاه، والشر الذي حذرها من الشرك وجميع ما يكرهه الله ويأباه. هذه سنته وهذا دينه صلى الله عليه وسلم.
Now, so the author, he continues by saying, he, meaning the Prophet ﷺ, remained doing this for 10 years, meaning he continued to explain the laws of Islam, zakah and fasting till the end, until he passed away, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, may Allah send his peace and blessings upon him, while his religion remained. So the religion of Islam remained. And he said this was his religion, and this is Islam, Iman, Ihsan, that there is no good, and that there was no good except that the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam directed his ummah towards it. So the Shaykh, he commented by saying that the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam directed us to everything good. So if you want any good, look at what the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam informed us of and what he commanded us with. And do not look for anything, or do not look for good in anything other than what the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam brought. And the author continues by saying that there is no evil except that he warned them against it. Now, so the Shaykh, he commented on this, that the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he warned us against every type of evil. And the author continues by saying that the good that he directed his ummah towards was Tawheed, and everything that Allah loves and is pleased with. And the evil that he warned us from, or that he warned his ummah from, is shirk and everything that Allah hates and rejects. Now.
قال الشيخ رحمه الله بعثه الله إلى الناس كافة، يعني جنهم وإنسهم، عربهم وعجمهم، يهوديا أو نصرانيا أو مجوسيا أو مشركا، إلى كل الناس بعثه الله عز وجل، وافترض طاعته على جميع الثقلين، يعني الجن والإنس. قال الجن والإنس، والدليل قوله تعالى: قل يا أيها الناس إني رسول الله إليكم، إني رسول الله إليكم جميعا. نعم.
And the author continues by saying that Allah sent him to all people. So the Shaykh, he commented, all people, meaning the mankind and the jinn, the Arab, the Ajam, the Arab and the non-Arabs, the white, the black, and so on and so forth. Every possible type of people, the believers, non-believers, Allah Azza wa Jal sent Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to all of these people. And he made it an obligation upon everyone from these two species, meaning the jinn and mankind, to obey him. And the proof for this is the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal: say, O people, verily I am the messenger of Allah sent to you all.
طيب أذان نكمل إلى أن يأتي المؤذن ولا نؤذن؟ أذان؟ طيب نقف إن شاء الله ننتهي سريعا.
and continue after المغرب بإذن الله.